All right, ladies and gentlemen, we call the meeting to order at 2:18 PM.
Good afternoon, everyone. We have several items that we would like to discuss today. One being the TESA, where Mr. Mays will discuss and provide that information to you. At the last meeting, we discussed the performance pay, so we've updated this document to share with you again. We've had an opportunity to discuss this information with the board, and so we're presenting to you now this document for approval, unless there's something that you all would like to look at. And then our next discussion will actually be about the MOU that we're working on. And retention and recruitment.
For DNF
schools. Are you ready, Ms. Davis? For the test.
So basically, this is straight from the conference report. And if you go down to Gaston County, which is District 20, they gave us 1.5 for maintaining, and they gave us 299,217. When we back out Crossroads, 42,000. The district had 257,17 minus 20% for benefits, which was 51,443.40. That leaves 205,773.60 for you all to work with salary increases.
Our main focus was trying to get everyone to 47.5, so we're there now. And so now this will be, this amount will be at your discretion to set up your increase.
Salary scale.
How many teachers do you anticipate in the bargaining unit next year?
How many teachers? We're waiting right now.
How many do you have now?
310.
Okay. For next year, we have some. You should have already done a budget, so there must be something.
Well, there's some teachers, Dr. Siegel, we haven't finished that yet. We just got information, and teachers are still resigning, so I would hate to inflate the number of teachers we're going to have. But I would say if we're leaving it at the same count that we have right now, I would say that would be 310.
But your staffing plan, based on this FEFP potential calculation, should have so many teachers already, right? So what is the staffing plan for next year? Is there a staffing plan for next year at all?
There is a staffing plan, but as I said, we are planning for our current number that we have, but a lot of those, well, I shouldn't say a lot, let me just say several teachers has resigned.
So you're planning for 310 next year?
That is correct.
And that is my understanding from the way this was presented, this is all the money that the district is making available for compensation.
That is correct.
Is there any other stipulations or guidelines, restrictions to this money? It's just, since we got to the 47.5, we're free to do it.
Correct.
I think we're good on that.
Okay. The next item is the performance pay.
Thank you.
It's the second time.
And so we talked about this at the last meeting, but we have taken the amount after looking at evaluations and putting everything in place. So for the 21-22 school year, that's the top section. Well, the amount is $12,500. Nothing about that changed. We just wanted to clarify individuals with the effective or highly effective evaluations. Then you would have the 22-23, which is in the second row. And then at the bottom, it talks about Gaston County instructional employees will receive performance for the 21-22, 22-23, as well as the 23-24 by June 30th of 2024. So this will be the performance pay, and then for performance pay for the 23-24 school year and subsequent school years will be distributed on or before September the 30th of each school year. Yes, it is. It's just that is correct, but that's what I said. We want to shore up the numbers.
Okay.
The amount is still.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And they understand we just use it.
Mm-hmm. And then I think the other thing that we just want to share with you all that we are working on a piece for retention and recruitment. And this is for retention and recruitment for the DNF schools. We have to make sure that we have certified folks and individuals filling those positions due to the fact that they're DNF schools. So we're working on that. We're hoping to get that to you at the next meeting. Some of the highlights with that is that the district is looking at providing a stipend of $5,000 to the instructional staff. We're also looking at the students' grades and looking at those who have 60% or higher of students who demand proficiency on the ELA subtest. That will be through kindergarten through second grade. We're also looking at them, the highly effective and effective for those individuals that remain at the schools. And if we're looking at these individuals who are going to receive the stipend, we're asking that they remain at those school sites for the upcoming school years. So we want to try to make sure that there is something in place that will support the schools. And the super has also said that there's a potential for us looking at stabilization for entire districts through whatever available funding we have left.
Now, with this $5,000, that's only for professionally certified people?
That is correct, sir.
So,
okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So the staff that's already there that's on a temporary certificate for that retention piece, they wouldn't receive anything?
That is how, that is correct. They must meet all certification requirements as determined by DOE. And that is those individuals with professional certifications in the certification and endorsements of the content area.
Do you all have a working draft that I would like to share right now at the moment?
Not at the moment.
Not yet. Bottom, may I speak?
Yes.
The bottom line is that we're looking at providing incentives for people to work at the DNF schools. We're looking to pay teachers that are high performing a considerable amount of money to teach there for the entire year. And we're looking to pay individuals that recruit those teachers, whether they're certificated or not certificated, a certain amount of money for even recruiting people to the DNF school. That's in addition to what you get, teachers will be getting for TESA, in addition to the low money you get for performance pay, and in addition to possibly, because we're not sure, being able to give everybody in the district some stabilization funding, because we probably will not be able to do raises, but we might be able to do stabilization funding like other districts are. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what are the DNF schools in the district?
Currently, it's Stewart Street, Shanks, and then the two schools that were on the list but came off after having eyes was Havana Magnet, and George Monroe was on there as well. But two of those schools are no longer on that list, which is George Monroe and Shanks. So currently, we would be
Stewart Street.
Stewart Street and
Shanks.
Yeah, she's
so Havana is the one that's removed with first
grade. Right.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
And this is contingent on what performance looks like when the grades come
this
out.
This year.
Yes.
Oh, that was my second question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it could potentially change.
What are you looking at for this headhunting fee for recruiting teachers?
I know a lot of teachers. I just left that word you said.
Yeah.
There it is, right here. Okay, recruitment of dollars minus standard deductions will be paid to the employee within 30 days who are hired on or before. No, that's not what
it is. It's C.
Okay, C.
Mm-hmm.
If the employee is hired on or after 21 days, that will be eligible to receive a recruitment in the amount of. That's for the actual employee.
They're both going to be employees.
$500 there. I knew I saw it there.
That's for the employee who recruited the new employee.
Yeah, that Miss So-and-so, the secretary whose daughter just graduated from college and looking to work that
night.
I'm just giving that the point I was trying to make was it could be a teacher that recruited, or it could be a secretary or custodian.
Of course.
was going to do.
Is it a limit to the number of people they can recruit?
I think they carry their grant money too.
Okay, let's see.
She said, yeah.
And so shall not exceed, shall not exceed $2,000.
So if I could get you 10 people, no thanks, you'll just take 4?
That is great.
No, no, that's all 4, you're only going to get paid the $2,000.
And that's why I'm only going to give you 4. So that's real short-sighted.
Well, that it is short-sighted, Dr. C.
It's very transactional.
You're the one who's offering a headhunting fee. I agree, it's transactional, let's get down to business. That's like transaction, you need people, what do you pay for?
So we'll have to, we're talking now, but we'll have to have something where there's a signed document that says so-and-so recruited me.
So if there was a teacher that wasn't recommended back in the district that goes to one of those schools, would that also apply?
It would apply if those individuals were picked up, if the principal decided to hire them.
They meet the criteria of high performing and, there's some, we're trying to get the high performing people at the DF.
So when you say high performing, what's the, what's the qualifications for high performing?
Well, I'll read you,
Sure.
Example of what some of the language looks like. The district will provide monetary retention stipend up to a maximum of about $5,000 to instructional staff as defined according to Florida Department of Education, who meet all certification requirements as determined by DOE, have 60% or higher of their students who demonstrate proficiency on the ELA subtest of the state assessment, grades kindergarten through second, have a VAM of effective or highly effective, and remain at one of the schools identified as identified to receive support from the state system.
I mean, when recruiting, if you're recruiting
a teacher, it would be that individual who has the certification. It can't be unless it's a college student that just graduated,
right,
and has certification in elementary or math
one
or
of those things.
They wouldn't have the VAM, so that's why I was.
Or PM data, because you said K through 3.
It has to be one of these, and that's something that's good I mentioned, so we can look at that. Right?
Okay.
I'm not supposed to share that much, but I wanted to give you some idea.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, what's coming, because we still have, obviously we got to work
on it. You're still working on it, yeah.
Yes.
But.
And I'm going to write a question. What is high performing, right? Define high performing.
Did she say 60%
She did. Say 60% proficiency.
But if they don't have any schools, how are you going to deem them?
New
right out of college.
If you're recruiting people,
yeah,
if they're coming out of college, they're not going to have any data.
And you arguably want them more than anyone because they'll stay here for 30 more years,
yeah,
and reduce the recruitment in the future. Right?
And they're culture.
Yeah.
Young, old, or bold teacher.
You got it.
I think we need to stop this person.
Okay, good. Sonya said, shut up, Sylvia. Dr. Sylvia said, shut up. I wanted you guys to have some idea of the direction we're going in. So that we can, the next time we bring it back, we could potentially be at a place where we're in all in agreement, and we can act on this at the beginning of the school year. We missed out on the opportunity last year because we didn't act early enough. Okay.
Do you have all the copies?
No. She doesn't have all the copies. I got this.
Do you have another one of these minutes?
Sure. get my signing sheet back.
Give her this pen,
she
thinks
she's going to need it. She uses somebody's pen.
I mean, practically wise, or anything like that, how much one person recruits, who cares? That's a legitimate question to ask back at them, and next time I'll ask for a response, and you can tell me what they said. I don't want to hear, we didn't get that, I'll let you know next time, because it's like a one question thing.
You're handy.
Yeah, I want answers. Okay. Because I'm like, if one person can fill your district, give them whatever. Literally, who cares? It's filling the district, right? Like, why limit that? Unless you just don't want one person to have too much money.
Or we just
which that can't
spread
possibly be. Okay, yeah. So that's interesting. That's valid. This presupposes there's, like, an influx of everyone recommending, like, 10 people, right? Which that would be a great problem. But you're only going to hire so many. You're probably not going to take only Devontae's recommendations. You're going to pick whoever, and it will statistically distribute the money anyways.
All right.
Questions?
I do have a few questions. Since we are in the midst of getting ready to start summer school, when do we plan on bargaining for the summer school paying hours? Will it start on Monday the 10th? Mm-hmm. And I know it's supposed to be from June 10th to July 11th. And the 17th for the ESP.
That is correct. Oh, it's the 10th as well, ESY? Okay.
Well, see, most of them can be paid from the grant. It was already the same price that was negotiated, $35 an hour for teachers.
If they're getting paid out of the grant?
Correct. Which is where they're coming from. If they're in the reading program, it's their regular hourly wage.
Oh, that answers the question.
So if it's coming out of the grant, it'll be $35 an hour for teachers. It depends, because there are several grants that they have. ESSER is one of the facets, but then they have a before and after school grant that has been written. They have a actual summer program grant. So certain schools will be paid from various funding sources of grants that's been written up for those specific dedications. So it's $35 an hour. That would be for teachers. And if they are getting paid out of the reading grant for the reading summer camp, they normally get their hourly wage that they would be getting paid.
Balance went up, but do we have a dollar amount on that?
Say that again.
The dollar amount for the fund. Well, what is the current fund balance and the associated dollar amount with that?
So the fund balance is estimated at around about 12.8%, but the auditors have not finished with reviewing it. So this is just estimated. Once they publish their report, then they'll give the actual fund balance, because they still could make some adjustments. But at this point, it's estimated at 12.8%.
And approximately, what's the dollar amount?
You're looking at between, say, 2 to 4 million, plus or minus, in between that span. Because like I said, it depends on what the final number is.
Okay.
don't know if you can answer this question. So we've been hearing 3 point something plus or minus for several meetings or several. What was the change?
So there was a combination of data being put together from the outside consultant as well as myself internally. And the outside consultant submitted the actual AFR to the state. Well, there was some miscommunication of data that when she did her report that did not get transmitted totally. And it wasn't until the audit general came in and actually started pulling data specifically from the system that it got transmitted correctly. So it was just a discrepancy in timing and uploading the data to the state.
So where did this money come from? Like, it just didn't.
So in actuality, and in essence, to get a healthier fund balance, and being that we had a lot of the federal dollars, proactively, I was working internally to ensure that we move as many expenditures over to those federal dollars as possible to ensure that we could legally put those in that based off the grant being written. And in doing so, when we closed out the fiscal year, the consultant didn't run all of the data reports that we had available. And so it in turn caused some things not to be picked up in her report. So that's kind of where the discrepancy happened. And we were able to fix that on the backside with the audit general when they came and actually started pulling the data specifically straight from the system.
So was this over the span of 1 year, more than 1 year? Or?
It was isolated incident to this year.
Okay.
And in part because we had a separate person doing it from previous years.
To be clear though, you did hear him say we really won't know what the fund balance is until the auditors finish
correct
their report.
When would that be?
They're working through it now. They had a few more questions that they wanted to review. On top of them receiving a complaint, it's being investigated. So they're running the numbers with the data that's been given to them versus the complaint. So that hopefully would be trued up by the end of this month.
So the expected time is by the end of this year.
That's what we're shooting for. Now, I'm not the audit general, so I can't say
right
that, but
right
we're hoping to have that completed.
That because I'm getting a lot of feedback from teachers who are saying that the insurance here in this district is just too high.
I mean, there's nothing new. We've been saying that since I've been here for 9 years.
So something I would like to see if the district didn't want to pay more towards the premium side is offering a rebate to how many people are on the district's insurance plan?
I will have to go back and pull it because there are several different tiers that when it comes to that. So, like, you have the family plan. I think I pay, $14.25 a month for the family plan.
Just a ballpark.
So, probably during the transmission, I think we may have roughly 200 on our CHP plan.
200 total employees?
Plus or minus, 2 to 3.
You mean teachers?
That's what he was asking for.
No,
all employees.
So you're looking at, out of 700 and something employees, you probably have right around about 400, 425, give or take.
So to be liberal, 450.
operative word probably.
That's what I said. Yeah. I have to go back and run it actual.
That information.
Run the data.
Yeah.
Which I just transmitted to CHP bill, so I can go back and break it down real quick. So.
I don't want us to get sidetracked.
Are you guys willing to entertain an insurance rebate for the? Have some type of relief for
it. I know we've had that question before. The issue that I have with that, now once we, when they gave us that money back, then that was one way, you know, turned into a form of rebate. The issue I have with that is that because the medical cost is continually increasing, that would be advantageous to give an employee a rebate on the insurance. That's more saying, hey, we give you, you know, you sign up to work here, we give you $3,000 and you go find your own insurance. That's more in line of a private company, what most private companies do. You know, you come in, you say, hey, you know, I'm gonna give you $3,000, that's for the year, you figure out how you're gonna get insured. In this case, because by industry standards of school districts, you're obligated to provide some type of health incentives. So in this case, I would say no, but it's not my decision. It's something that has to come from the district. But financially speaking, I would say that'd be advantageous. It would be better to work toward how can you decrease the payment to the employee, which what we started small was the district started absorbing the hundred some thousand dollars versus passing the cost onto the employee. So that's a form of a pay raise. So I mean, you're gonna have to either not give a pay raise and work on health insurance, or you're gonna have to work on health insurance and try to find ways that you can offset it.
And how much is the district paying towards the insurance premium?
75% for employees only. And this is something that I've worked numbers on. I've crunched them on that. It's a matter of you may have to forego giving salary increases in order to offset that. You're not going to be able to do both sides of that because of the cost.
But if the district is giving the TSIA funds, that would be something totally different then.
But you got to also look at the number of employees that you got that could potentially get on the plan. The cheaper you make it, the more people that's going to participate, and that's going to push your costs up as well.
So
more participants would drive the cost down.
Not necessarily.
So
because we're community rated, and because of our aging population and individuals who are not utilizing other methods other than the emergency room, or you know, for the scratch and the pinch and the boo boo, then it takes it up. So the more health and insurance prescription pieces you have, and the more unhealthiness that you have in your line, then that's what you're going to end up with.
Is your risk pool just Gadsden County Public Schools? Or
it's just our school district. They take the community rating of the community itself. So in our case, because of our older population of individuals who are more prone to, you know, I'm just saying diabetes, and now you got younger people who are in those risk factors. I just saw the latest numbers. And so if you don't go to urgent care, but you go to the ER, or you're, you know, not willing to take on the risk of cell phone piece, you know, that's what you kind of run into. So that's where our issue is coming.
So the community rating for Gadsden County is the school district?
No.
Even though those people are
The community rating is for the school district of Gadsden County. So we have our rates, then you have the county, because everybody's on a separate plan. So we're not all together. So when they say community rating is your set of people and the rates that is charged to you based off of your usage.
Is there planning to be an insurance meeting regarding the rates
for this
year? Anything
like that
discussed?
It has to be recommended by the insurance committee for it to go to the board. So, yeah, there will be a meeting.
So, to be clear, I think what I heard you ask is it possible to discuss insurance how much the district is going to cover for insurance and the insurance committee? No, that's not what you were asking. And the insurance.
No, I was referencing the he was explaining the way rates are developed.
What?
The way the rates are developed. He was talking about the community agreement.
Okay.
The county agreement and all of that, and I think they're going to be there more.
And they do. Pat Thomas them and CHPD go through it every year when we have that. They go through and break it down, and they give the impact piece of that. They do it to the board every time because the board asks that question, and that's one of the things that they talk about.
Yeah, but I think maybe what your question is, and I don't know, tell me if I'm wrong, but that we'll negotiate here what the board contribution is or not, but what you guys negotiate from the health insurance committee would be like the tier of your prescription drugs. If you want a 20, 30, 50, a 30, 50 set, that kind of thing.
Correct.
I think is what the committee meets upon. Good. Which is
exactly.
You're asking, like, is that meeting going to come where they say it's going to be a 12% increase unless you do this or
that? Oh, yeah. We have it every year. It has to. Every year. Every year.
And I guess this question is for that actual meeting, but is there any type of program that we could possibly be enrolled in? I enroll our people in.
Well, and that's one of the things that I have had a conversation with Pat Thomas and CHP. As a matter of fact, I think we just have a lunch and learn. I just said Jalen and Nancy in Melbourne, didn't I? Okay. So with that, it is how do we incentivize our employees to make, you know, different decisions? How do we educate them on those type things? Where it be one of the things I said, you know, health, fitness and health and wellness competition, where, you know, individuals who want to sign up for it, you know, you can make it a district-wide competition. Those are the type of things I've been having conversations with them as I've talked with other districts who are becoming self-insured. Because that's one of the things that another district asked me, why didn't we become self-insured? I told them, y'all crazy, they'll bankrupt us. Because, you know, it's our health factors and risk factors are too great. In a district our size. So those are the type of things I have talked with them about, and I know Dr. Sonya Jackson attested that. I'm always telling them, you know, we should not be paying for health fares. That's something you all should be put on because we pay y'all for health insurance. So that's something you all should be bringing back to the district. So we will be having more discussions with the insurance committee on ideas and pooling the individual employees on what would you like to see as far as educational feedback, and also hosting health fairs. This is point blank period. We need health fairs where individuals can come and actually hear and see different things. Like I told them, you know, if we got to get healthy snacks and whatever and put them in bags for people to come, then, you know, incentivize how we got to. So, but it's a must change. We have to.
Have you considered before doing like annual reimbursement for a gym membership?
Well, CHP already offers that.
And if you people just, is 150?
Yeah, I get mine every year.
Yeah, I had it with the state. Right? Yeah. People just don't utilize it.
They don't use it. I get mine every year.
Or they don't know because I didn't know. And then when I
well, that's one of the, and see, just like you said, that's one of the reasons why I told them we need to have, you can do gym membership, Weight Watchers, any type of health.
Like yoga studio.
Yeah, anything dealing with health and wellness. You get $150 back every year.
Yeah, there's
$100
a year. Well, I mean, I pay $27 a month, so.
I mean, it helps offset it.
Yeah. But you can invest in a treadmill.
Every time I'm joining
the gym.
So it's just, but they do have incentives in it. But we just, like you said, it could be just educating them to know.
Is there actually benefit packets that all of the different things?
It's on Webline. On Webline. On the website. And we try to make sure we update it annually now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know we get Microsoft Word with the picture.
I just found that out about a year ago, so I didn't know that either.
District employees.
Microsoft.
Office. Suite.
If you wanted to buy it yourself, you could because you're an employee of the district. But yeah, I didn't know that.
You mean, is it the 365 or can it be the standard?
It's whatever their promotion is at that time.
It's the cloud-based one, so.
That's the base?
Yeah.
So the cloud don't open no more. It just started raining.
Is there a plan for school clean over the summer?
Support services.
Yes. There's a lot going on with the schools right now. Cleaning is one of the issues. Right now, they're supposed to be working on the floors and moving old furniture out of the classrooms. Mm-hmm. The custodians are working with the district maintenance staff, and all the schools are supposed to be getting new furniture. The four schools designated to be combined into a new school, their new furniture will go to the new school, but if they have damaged furniture, we have enough surplus to replace that.
So the school that will be receiving new furniture by August, mm-hmm, would be?
Havana, Gaston County High, West Gaston, Greensboro Elementary, and Chattahoochee. Now the other schools also will be receiving furniture that's new to them, but it's not
new.
Right. Because some place like Havana Magnet has very, at least the elementary side, fairly new. And Gaston County High has furniture that's in good shape, as does West Gaston High. I'm not saying it all is, but they have some that's in good shape.
And that would include stuff like teacher desk chairs.
That's my understanding, yes. And for if their elementary playground equipment is in the process of being delivered and installed as well. So we've got a lot going on, including cleaning of the schools, yes.
And have y'all had the opportunity to look at the additional contract language that we propose?
We have, and so with that additional language, I'm looking, so where it says add an article 2, I was looking for the different pieces, so there is like number 2, I don't know if you have that. So if it's possible, if you could go back and identify, there was one section where I know you said add an article 2, but in section 8 on number 2, I see that. Then number 3 is stricken through where it says the parties agree to explore and use electronic media as a means of improving communications. I didn't see where that was located in the contract. So I'm just trying to look to see where those different pieces are, and if you don't mind if you could identify page or section so that we'll know what we're looking at.
What document are you looking at right now?
It says lesson plans.
And then what page? It's not able.
So the discussion is being had. A decision has not been made. I think there are certain pieces of it that the superintendent is not agreeable to, but if you could please provide to me where you're referring, the areas, then we'll have us another opportunity to look at it again.
So I think page 6, paragraph 2, in parentheses by the changes.
Where we want to add that language.
Mm-hmm. If it's adding language or if it's just
and where
editing.
And if you're striking the information, I couldn't see where that information was initially in the contract to come out.
Okay, so you just need a clean version that makes it understandable what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all we need.
You guys wanted to sign the contract today, was that right? Okay, that worked out, so I didn't need that to anyways. We have not signed our 23-24 book, though, yet, I think, right? Like, we've all ratified everything. We just haven't signed the final page.
Correct.
So can you send me the final version of the contract?
Yes.
And then I will look over that, make sure it matches what I got, and then I can just come up and sign it whenever. That does not have to be a bargaining session. It's just a signature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think that was an item we didn't really talk about that you mentioned. Unless you meant something else, but yeah. And otherwise, we have to talk about the performance pay structure, because the way you guys have structured this is also not really one time, it's in perpetuity forever. And so, the format of it, because it says subsequent school years. So we're going to talk about what we want to do with that, and then from your end, you're going to get more details on the MOU for DNF schools.
Okay.
Do you know more about school grades?
I'm sorry?
School grades.
We don't have an exact date, but usually it's toward the middle to end of June. We do that one's pretty sure. Usually get it around the second or third week in June. Is it July or anything?
So it's in like the middle of July.
She's looking it up now. It's usually about the same week we usually have principal leadership.
Mm-hmm.
What is
it? It says June
/
July.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have an exact date, Ms. Mandela. We don't have an exact date, but if it's holds true to past practices, we usually get it the same time as we have the district leadership meeting, which is toward the end of June, middle of July, somewhere in between there.
I was thinking and I looked up and did.
She sent me a
message. No. No, I didn't do that. Okay, so the next day? Before the board meeting? What about the 17th?
For me, 17th is typically does.
Okay, 17 is good.
He's doing summer school in time.
In time.
So we got a little summer school in there.
They do 17. It would be 3 o'clock.
So what time?
It can be in the morning. No, oh, well, I forgot.
What time does it get there?
So you got a bus yet?
So 3:30.
I
didn't
get my license yet. 3:00.
Okay.
3:00.
Okay, so that's June 17th at 3 p.m.
Okay.
All right. That's it. All right, it's 4:06 and meeting is over.